they're brandishing truncheons, and in behind them go the mounted police officers, again in an attempt to break up the pickets.
Well, Bill King, that was obviously quite a dramatic memory for everybody. It was probably the most vivid confrontation of the entire mining dispute of 84,
yes,
85.
Yes, there were 5,000 on either side on the day, I think. 5,000 police and 5,000 pickets.
You weren't there yourself?
I wasn't. I was on duty nearby another pit, but I was there in that area on the day. For myself, it was a turning point. Had the police been overwhelmed at Orgreave, then I think it would have had a decisive effect.
There's a lot of nonsense talked about Orgreave, actually, that somehow it was this vital target. Saltley Gates had worked because the NUM had reached out and embraced the other trade unions, and they'd come from Birmingham and everywhere in there. There was a tremendous sense of union solidarity in 74. The reverse happened in 1984, and it seemed to us that Orgreave was absolute madness, which it was. Those tactics by that time were a waste of time. And all it resulted in was hundreds of our boys coming back on coaches battered.
Ken Clark.
Had Orgreave actually fallen, as it were, then I think we could have been in very big trouble. But we'd have to work out whether you could keep the power going, keep the lights on. And almost certainly there'd be more violent attacks on other places if Orgreave had fallen.
But as we now know from the cabinet papers published 30 years later, Margaret Thatcher did consider bringing in the army.
Well, nobody wanted to bring in the army. Nobody wanted to use the police in this way. It was all utterly absurd. It was a belief that so long as you could get thousands of people to storm a place with sufficient force, you could oblige the government to give in to your demand.
Barbara Jackson, from your great intake of breath that I heard there, you were convinced that the government was organising that sort of confrontation deliberately.
Yeah, it was well known about Nicholas Ridley had laid down a paper.
Conservative minister.
Yeah, in the late 70s about if the Tory government came to power to stamp their authority on the country, they wanted to take on a major trade union and beat that trade union. But Orgreave, the BBC has a part to play in how the general public perceived Orgreave, because it wasn't the miners who charged the police on the 18th of June. It was the police that opened ranks and then the horses came out. But on that day's news, the footage had got reversed, so it was shown that the miners were charging.
I think the BBC did then say later that this was an accident.
Can I ask what the NUM thought they were doing when they bust in 5,000 young men to Orgreave? I mean, was this just to explain the nature of the dispute? Was this going to be lawful, peaceful picketing? In my opinion, it must have been quite obvious to everybody getting on the bus that there was going to be another punch-up.
If you look at the pictures of the time, it was in summer and the miners are dressed in T-shirts, trainers and jeans. They hadn't got riot gear. They hadn't got horses. They hadn't got dogs. The pickets were there to be effective.
Just to say that I was at Orgreave on several occasions, and it will go down in history because it's one of the times where we do have footage. There's lots in the archives to show the tactics of the police.
You had this confrontation,
Kim,
which was about absolutely no closures, and we knew that that was never going to make any sense. It was then constantly fed like a furnace by statements that were made. Mrs. Thatcher, for example, described us as the enemy within. She just won the Falklands War. The fascist generals who ran the Argentinian army were the enemy without. We, who'd sustained this country through two world wars and God knows what else, were suddenly the enemy within because we were fighting for our own jobs.